Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You ready for this?
Oh, I'm very ready.
I'm so excited. Okay, ready?
You ready?
Three, two, one.
Now, here's a look at what's sunny across Central Florida on 105.9 Sunny FM. Here's your host, Michael Rafferty.
Well, it's hurricane season once again. It kind of sneaks up on you, but there it is. It's June. So that means it's time to prepare for this season's storms. Last year, we got a direct hit from Michael on the panhandle. So I guess it would behoove us to really be prepared this year. And here to help us out with that is Keith Koch. Keith is from Orange County Emergency Management. Keith, welcome back to Sunny Across Central Florida.
Well, it's good to be here, Michael.
Well, last year got our attention. The panhandle is still recovering from the effects of Michael.
Oh, yeah. It's probably going to be several years before they have some semblance of normalcy up there. They got devastated with a Cat 5 hurricane.
And it's going to be a new normal for them.
A new normal, yeah. Yes.
If anything like that ever happened in the Orlando metro area, it would be incredibly devastating.
Oh, yes. It was a Cat 2 or 3, I believe, hurricane all the way up into Georgia. You know, it took a while for that to dissipate. And, you know, similar things can happen here. If we had an impact coming into the Brevard County or a little bit further south, coming at an angle into the Orange County area, there's not much land and there's certainly no mountains. So it's very flat land and it would not degrade much coming in. And we could expect tremendous damage.
Now, Michael was a storm that took about 3 days to ramp up to where it became Category 5.
That's an interesting thing that you bring up now. We just had the Governor's Hurricane Conference, the annual conference down in West Palm Beach. We had a briefing by the director of the National Hurricane Center, and he pointed out four of the last five Cat 4 or 5 hurricanes didn't even have a name 3 days before impact. There's a concept called rapid intensification. You've got to be ready. The Weather Service gives us, usually a five-day cone. But in these cases, there was no named storm out there. It was just an area of disturbed weather. And in 3 days, it went from nothing to a Category 5 hurricane. That's hard to imagine. And this time of year, of course, these storms tend to form in the southwestern part of the Gulf of Mexico. That's not very far away. We only have 3 days or so to really prepare. So that just makes it that much more important to always be prepared in advance. Don't wait until a couple of days before. You just don't have the time.
Right. And the conditions, if I remember correctly, September was particularly hot. And I think at that time, this was the first week of October, I think, was Michael, right?
Right.
All the way up north, even Chicago, and it was like 80, 85 degrees. It was blistering hot. And the temperature of the water around our area was about a couple of degrees higher than it normally would be. And that's all it took, right?
Right. And I think we're still experiencing a little bit higher increased Gulf temperatures now. So each storm is unique. All the conditions have to be just right for a storm to form. But it's not unprecedented now. 3 days isn't a lot of time to prepare.
I read something recently that trips people up because this year, 2019 is supposed to be a less active year. And I know a lot of people go, we're out of the woods. It only takes one, as we found with Michael.
Yeah. As you found years ago with Hurricane Andrew.
Oh, yeah.
That was a late storm. That was the first hurricane of the year. I think it was the only hurricane that year. But what a hurricane it was. And it was late in the year. So it only takes, as you said, it only takes one storm to make a very bad impact on an area. So we've always got to be on our toes and be watching.
All right, what did we learn from Michael being a major Cat 5 coming ashore? What did Orange County management learn that maybe they didn't know or proved out to be true?
Even though we did not have a direct storm impact, per se, with the weather, it impacted us and a lot of counties in Florida by taking some of our resources, and we offered our resources, fire rescue, utilities. They sent resources up to the Panhandle to help those areas, because those areas were very small counties. They don't have a lot of resources themselves, but they were so devastated. They lost fire stations. They lost fire protection capability. So we were providing a search and rescue. We were providing EMS services and fire services. And not only in Michael, but also Florence was last year in the Carolinas, and we did the same thing. We offered our services. And what that does is that gives us that invaluable real-world training. It helps us to become better prepared.
All right, so what should we be doing right now to prepare?
Getting a kit, building a supply kit, emergency supply kit. Make sure you've got drinkable water. We always recommend 1 gallon per person per day for 3 to 7 days, a minimum of 3 days. But right now, after the lessons learned from Irma a couple of years ago, that outage extends beyond the 3 days. So 3 to 7 days, drinking water first and foremost. Some canned goods just to sustain you for a couple of days until the stores get back open and you can get out on the road after hopefully 3 days. Irma was a little unusual, but it was a little bit longer before the stores were getting stocked. But have that a supply of food. You may already have the items in your pantry. Also, make sure you have a weather radio and download some of our apps, some of our notification systems, so that you can be informed when a storm's going to impact us, or any information, emergency information that local government may put out. All the counties around us, we have one called OC Alert. Other counties have similar mass notification systems. So if you're in another county other than Orange, check with your local emergency management office and make sure you're signing up for their mass notification systems.
I know there's a couple of things that people forget to or don't think about. One of them is, of course, all your documents and all your papers and all your things. You kind of want to get that in a nice, safe place now. I know some people have put them in plastic.
You know, now's the time to be doing that, to where you're not rushed. Take your time, go around your house, take pictures of every room, every wall, so that you can show insurance that you have. If something were to happen, you can show insurance that, yes, I did have that grand piano in my living room. You know, those type things. Make sure you photo document and keep those photos in a safe place, electronically maybe, with another family member out of the area, so that you can prove like that. The other thing we need to be doing now is go around your yard and start preparing your yard. So many of us have nice trees. They look great. They provide a lot of shade, but they also provide a danger of being blown over, branches being broken and blown around to impact our homes or our neighbors' homes. So now's the time to go get a professional arborist to thin out those canopies so that wind will blow through it, not against it.
Especially the ones that are near the power lines. I know the OUC comes around and they kind of do that on their own. But in your own backyard, you might want to check that out.
Yeah, they'll protect the power lines and those on the right-of-ways. But in private yards, the utilities aren't going to be able to go in there. Government's not going to be able to go in there and clear those trees. So it's up to you as the homeowner to do that.
And another thing people neglect or don't think about till it's too late is all their prescriptions, not only for themselves, but for their family and for their animals.
Yes. Remember that pets are people too. You know, you may want to get a paper script. Talk to your doctor, talk to your pharmacist about having a copy of your prescription so that in the event you may be caught out of the area, when something happens, you've got your prescriptions to get a few day supply. Normally, the pharmacies now will allow you a few days beyond a prescription expiration just to get you by until you can get back home and get to the doctor. We're only talking maybe a week or two. Most of them do that now, so it's a much better than it used to be. Now's the time just to keep up with your prescriptions. Don't let it run out, especially if there's something brewing out there.
And all these things we're talking about isn't saying, well, you know, this is a panic thing. This is just something you should do now because you can. It's everything's calm, everything's quiet, cleaning out your gutters, getting your drainage system figured out, knowing what your evacuation routes are.
Yes. Or if you're going to evacuate, what is your plan? That's the third thing. You know, you need to develop that plan. Do you feel safe in your home, especially if you're living in a manufactured home or what we call mobile homes? Do you feel safe in that when there's a high wind event coming? If not, your plan may be to evacuate. So start thinking about, what would I do? We may not have the shelter location for you right now because it depends on what the storm's going to do, where we're going to open shelters. But if you are planning to evacuate, I don't want to stay in my home, I want to leave. Am I going to leave the area or am I going to go to a local evacuation center? If I'm going there, then you need to start gathering your supplies up. Make sure you've got bedding, you know, a mattress pad or a air mattress, pillow, sheets, things like that. Because what you get in an emergency evacuation shelter is a bare floor. You don't get a cot. You don't get things like that. You certainly don't get recliners and things like that. So make sure that you've got the basic necessities. As you do, you build up your supply kit. You're building up an evacuation kit, if that is going to be your plan. Of course, if it's not, then make sure your home's secure and can handle that wind impact. You may want to look at boarding up your windows or something like that.
You got to look at it now. And, you know, if you wait until 3 days before the storm to go get batteries, good luck to you.
Batteries, plywood, if that's what you're going to use, supplies, water, things like that, you're probably going to have a tough time finding it. Gasoline in the car. Make sure your cars stay filled up. A lot of people don't do that. They want to wait till the very last minute, and gas supplies may be short. So do it now.
Okay. So if you decide to stay in your home, stay in your home. Right. Don't go and, you know, try to be a hero. Right.
Don't go sightseeing. Don't, like you say, become a hero. You need to stay off the roads until the government that's out there looking, traveling the roads. We've got fire rescue that's out there doing surveys on what kind of damage is there. We got utilities out there doing that. We got law enforcement out there that are noting areas where you may have water problems, flooding, or trees down, debris, things like that. One last thing that we definitely need to work is, many of us have gotten generators over the past couple of years. We did have some people lose their lives back in Hurricane Irma in the county because of not properly using and safely using generators. And we want to emphasize that this year, is make sure you understand how to safely operate and use a generator. Never, never set that up in your garage or in an enclosed space and operate it. Carbon monoxide is not the smell you get from exhaust. It's a colorless, odorless poison. When it affects you, it's too late. So make sure that you're operating them safely, well-ventilated areas. Make sure you don't put them beside an open door where you're running extension cords in, or an open window. Keep them well away from those areas so that carbon monoxide gas is going to not enter your home.
If you're in a prone area, like on the coast, and you're going to stay in your home, would you suggest telling as many people as possible? Because I know that helps the authorities to know who's where.
Yes, that's part of your plan that you develop. Make sure your family knows, or friends, or whatever your plan is, a communications plan. Make sure somebody out of the area knows what you are going to do and where you can be reached. You want to initiate that call out, not wait for, you know, 50 family members to try to call into an area, because all they're going to do is start clogging the system and start degrading our phone systems. You want one call out of the area to a family member that the rest of your family can call them.
Another good thing is, you're in a neighborhood, just go up and down your street and say, who's where, who's, you know, who's here, who's staying, so you know.
Yeah, learn your neighbors. Find out, you know, you're going to find out what they have. Maybe they've got a generator. If you're, for instance, a diabetic that has to keep insulin cold or something like that, you may find out your neighbors can help do that if they're still there. You know where water is. People that have pools, if you need it to flush toilets or something like that, you've got those resources within your neighborhood. You've got seal sets. You've got people maybe with the chainsaws, construction people that know how to build things or repair things. Just learn what your capabilities are in your own neighborhood.
You just brought up something, chainsaws. That's important, because now talk about after the storm. I mean, when we say don't be a hero, it's not like don't help your neighbor, but sometimes you can be a burden to the first responders because you're in the way, or you got things, you know, just be smart about it. But get chainsaws afterwards. You got trees down, you got things happening, everybody's got their chainsaw out. Now, you got to be careful, because if you hurt yourself or somebody else, people might not be able to get you to the hospital.
Yes, certainly first responders are going to have a hard time getting to you. We don't want to overburden that already burdened system that people had to wait because we couldn't safely get out to them. The chainsaws, you got to worry about, are you adequately trained and prepared to use your chainsaws? But what about the people around you? Or do they know how to stay safe around you when you're using yours? The debris, that brings up an issue when we talk about the tree trimming and everything. We want to do it now. That will help reduce the amount of debris after the storm, and that causes a lot of issues. There's a lot of things that go into debris collection after a storm. A lot of it's regulated, how it's separated, and it has to be separated. You can't just pile everything, your shingles, your fence pieces that are down, and your trees and all that kind of yard waste. You can't just pile all that in one big pile. It will not get picked up because of federal regulations. They have to be separated out into piles, usually a vegetative pile, those tree limbs, bushes, things like that, a construction material type, fences, shingles, those type items are a separate pile. And then you've got what's normally called white goods. If your house was flooded or something like that and you have to get rid of appliances and things like that, those are the third category. They all have to be separated so that they can be picked up in an efficient manner.
And here's something I learned last year as far as electricity. The power company will come out and repair lines that are outside to your house, but from your house in is your responsibility.
They'll stop at the metering point.
Right.
So they'll bring it up to that point. And they will do what's necessary to clear, if it's a tree issue that's taken down, if you have an overhead power service, they will do what it takes to get that overhead service back to your house. But there can be other damages that they can't leave it activated. They can't leave
right.
it live. So you have to be able to have an electrician come
in.
Yeah,
they won't
do
that.
No, they will not go beyond the meter.
Right. So I know it's an important point because I know people get stressed out and they say, well, the electric company came and they did nothing. But they can only do so much.
They can do so much. And what they're doing to a lot of people, said, why were we out of power for a week when my neighbor had power the next day or something like that? Well, there's a lot to their structure. And what they can't do is just willy-nilly activate and energize a system without knowing what's downstream. They need to patrol all those lines and make sure that there's not a line down somewhere that they didn't know about and it would cause a hazard. So they're going to be patrolling, spending time initially patrolling each of those lines and making sure what they know is out there. How can they make it safe? How can they start the restoration process? So that takes time. There's a lot of power lines around.
There is. All right, so what's the bottom line, Keith? Now, I know Orange County Emergency Management has a lot of resources, but everything's about apps nowadays. Do you have an app?
We have an app. We have a mass notification system. Our mass notification system is called OC Alert. Many counties now have some type of system. So check with your local, if you're not in Orange County, check with your local county emergency management to find out how do I subscribe to my county's mass notification system. Ours is called OC Alert. OCAlert.net is how you can access it and sign up for it. That gives us the ability to send you text, email, and sometimes even voice messages to alert you to something happening or give you instructions on what to do. We do have a regular app type service called OCFL Alert. You can find it at the app stores for Android and for iPhones, OCFL Alert. And what the app does, it does pass along those emergency messages that we put out through OC Alert, but it also allows us to put some dynamic information such as where are debris collection points, where are shelters open, some instructions. We can put that out there and post those type of messages there on the app. So it's not a bad idea to have both of them.
It's very handy, and especially if they get it set up to whatever your power company is, where they have their page for outages that you can report or you can see the progress, so you have some sort of sense of what's happening.
Yeah, many of the utilities do have some type of online mapping that they'll show you where, even in non-storm times, you can go on and find out, what's the local outage situation. That's another, brings up another point, is in your frequently used phone numbers, make sure you've got a phone number for your power company, for your, if you're using a telephone service, what your telephone provider is, what your cable provider, internet provider is. Make sure you've got those outage numbers in your phone. It's kind of frustrating, when you call in for a cable outage, let's say, and they ask, do you know we have a website that you can do that for? And say, no, my cable's out.
Internet's out. So how am
so
I going to do
make sure that?
That
you write those numbers down and have them in your phone.
And you know what? Get one of those little battery things for your phone, those little tubes that you can charge. You're going to get a couple of those. Just charge them up, stick them up. That's like 20 hours worth of service calls you're gonna have right there, at least.
Right. Another reason for making sure your cars are kept gassed up and everything, you got to usually have a cigarette lighter in there. You can get a cigarette lighter adapter for your USB charger. You can charge your phones there.
So what's the bottom line, Keith? I think it's be prepared
now.
Absolutely now. Do it now where you can just calmly and coolly
absolutely.
Get into it. All right, Keith, I think we got it covered. The Office of Emergency Management is a great place to go.
Check any county that you're in, they will have tips and information there, two other resources for you on the internet, and this is part of your learning process, is FEMA's ready.gov website, ready.gov. A lot of tips, a lot of information there, and also the Florida Disaster, all one word, floridadisaster.org. That's the State Division of Emergency Management, their website. And we all mirror each other and are giving you the same information. So any of those sites, we're all on one page.
So there it is. The best thing you can do is just be prepared and start now.
Yes.
Well, Keith Koch, thank you so much for being on Sunny Across Central Florida.
You're welcome. Thank you.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.